Hi. So today I'm going to talk about racial disparities in diabetes and how we found these looking at the county level disparities using multi-level re-rated regression. So first, I don't have any relationships to disclose. So here's a little outline of where I'm going to go. I'm going to start with the background, and then I'll go into our methods and analysis, and then I'll summarize the results that we found. So diabetes is currently a national concern, and African Americans seem to bear a disproportionate burden. So at the national level, African Americans are almost 2 times more likely to have diabetes when compared to whites. And we don't know if this same statistic holds true at lower levels, such as the county level, so we need to do some sort of small area analysis technique to find that. So currently the agenda to reduce disparities is set on the national or sometimes the state level, but these levels might be too far removed from the county level or even the individual level where these health outcomes are actually being realized. So this is North Carolina. I'm from North Carolina. I've lived kind of all over that area. So I grew up in Winston-Salem, which is in the middle. I went to school in Chapel Hill, which is kind of in the east. And then I currently now have family that lives in Asheville, which is western. And I know just from looking at that, that there is all kind of variability when you're looking within the state of North Carolina. And this kind of drove our hypothesis that perhaps the within-state variability is going to be greater than the between-state variability when looking at health behaviors and health outcomes, and specifically for this study when looking at diabetes. And so we thought, as a secondary hypothesis, our primary one is that there are disparities that exist on the county level, and our secondary hypothesis is that, in fact, maybe the variability within states is greater than the variability between states, and so if we target our interventions more locally, then maybe we can be more effective. So we used behavioral risk factor surveillance system data, or BFRS data. So this is a telephone survey, and it's often used to estimate the prevalence of chronic diseases. They collect uniform state-specific data, so we used that and we put it down on the county level. So valid direct estimations of prevalence can be calculated from this data on the state and larger geographic levels, but currently they don't have a way to look at county-level data, so we did some reweighting and used the multi-level re-weighted regression to do that. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about our methods and our analysis. So our diabetes estimates came from 5 years of BFRS survey data from 2006 to 2010. So the question was, have you ever been told by a doctor that you have diabetes? And if you answered yes and you were female, you were then asked, was this only when you were pregnant? And if you answered yes to the first question, and if asked no to the second, then you were considered to have chronic diabetes in our study. So we included counties with at least 10% whites and 10% blacks and 30 respondents per racial subgroup. And then those with missing information regarding age, sex, race, or diabetes status were excluded from the analysis because these were all components of our regression. So then we reweighted the survey data. So BFRS weights are applicable at the state level, so we need to adjust them down to the county level. So the value of these weights indicates how much each of the respondents is going to count in the statistical procedures that we used. So this is what the BFRS weight looks like. It's this W state times C state, and I'll go into more about what those actually are. But we made this new weight, which was W state times C county. So the C state is this NI sub S J, where that's the number of people in state I sub S of demographic group J. And then it's divided by the sum W state summed over the respondents in I sub S of demographic group J. So then that W state is made up of three components. The first is it accounts for the difference in the probability of telephone number selection. The second is the number of residential telephone numbers in the respondent's household. And the third is the number of adults in the respondent's household. So we replaced this NI sub SJ with an NI sub CJ. So that was, rather than using the state level age by race by sex population estimates, we used 2010 census age by race by sex estimates on the county level. And then rather than summing over the state, we summed over the county. So then this is the form of our regression equation. It was logit P sub ij equals x times beta plus alpha sub I, where xij is the vector of q covariates, beta is the corresponding vector of fixed effects, and alpha sub I is the random effect per county. So in our model, we used race, sex, and age group. And then we also included county-level variables. So these were obtained from 2010 census data as well. So we included county percent poverty, proportion of adults older than 25 with less than a high school education, and urban versus rural status. So then we did our county-level estimations by race with the following equation. So this P hat IJ is the estimated prevalence of diabetes in county I of race J. NIJK is the number of people in County I of race J that belong to sex and age demographic group K. NIJ is the total population of County I of race J. And then this P hat IJK comes from the previous model that I showed you. So it was the estimated prevalence in diabetes for County I for race J and demographic group K. So then we compared these prevalence using two different forms of disparity estimates. We looked at rate difference and rate ratio. So rate difference is an absolute measure. We looked at the estimated county level prevalence rate for the non-Hispanic black population minus the estimated county level prevalence rate for the non-Hispanic white population. And then we also used rate ratio, which is a relative measure. So that was the estimated county level prevalence rate for the black population divided by the estimated county level prevalence rate for the white population. So I'm going to talk a little bit about our results that we found. So here's our sample summary information. We had about 1 million observations, and we used 588 counties. And here are the counties ranked in terms of the greatest disparity. So the top five counties in terms of rate difference are Union County, Florida, Pennsylvania County, Virginia, Suplin County, North Carolina, Bladen County, North Carolina, and Okmulgee County, Oklahoma. And in terms of rate ratio, District of Columbia was the top, with San Francisco County, California as the next, Queen Anne's County, Maryland, Arlington County, Virginia, and then New York County, New York as the fifth highest. So as I had said before, when we were looking at the state of North Carolina, we had hypothesized that perhaps that within-state variability is greater than the between-state variability. So we decided to look at that. So we looked at the variance within states for states that were included in our analysis that had at least three counties. So 35 states met this criteria. So some of our counties had dropped out based on our exclusion criteria, and that's why not all of the states fit into this. And so we looked at the overall between-state variance. So looking at all 50 states in the District of Columbia, that variance of the prevalence of diabetes, looking at the overall state estimates, is 2.18. And if we look at the between-state variance for just those 35 states included in our analysis, it's a bit smaller. It's 2.08. And so then if we look at our within-state variance, if we look at the overall estimates on the county level, the mean variance was 4.42, which is about double that of the overall between-state variance, and the race stratified is about 9.75. So this really seems to emphasize what we were expecting, or maybe what we were hypothesizing, that the within-state variability is actually pretty great in comparison to the between-state variability, which is further necessitating looking at within the states, and we're trying to target interventions to be able to appropriately give funding and also evaluate how well these interventions are working. So 15 or 42% of the states included in our analysis had a within-state variance greater than the between-state variance, and 28 or 80% had a race stratified within-state variance greater than the between-state variance. So just a quick summary before we delve into one of the states in particular. We've established that we constructed new weights on the county level. We performed a multi-level re-rated regression to find county-level diabetes estimates by race. Union County, Florida had the largest disparity in terms of rate difference. It's a disparity of 8.2%. The District of Columbia had the largest disparity in terms of rate ratio with a disparity of 2.434. And the within-state variability is often larger than the between-state variability, and even more so when we stratify by race. And so this just further necessitates the targeted interventions that we've been talking about. So then we did this forest plot just to delve into the states that ended up ranking in the top five for either rate difference or rate ratio. So this is showing the mean of the county level prevalence estimates of diabetes, and the top estimate is the non-Hispanic white ended up ranking in the top five for either rate difference or rate ratio. The clear shift for every one of those, and so this is just a better visual way to get that clear idea. And so we're going to take a deeper look into Florida. We chose Florida because we had a lot of counties that fit our inclusion criteria in Florida. It also ranked as the top in terms of rate difference, with that Union County, Florida, having the largest disparity. So in Florida, this is the distribution of the non-Hispanic white population on the county level. And this is the distribution of the non-Hispanic black population on the county level. And if you look at them side by side, you can see the clear disparity taking place. So overall, there really is a shift. And I think it really helps to see this visually because it will help in terms of policy and targeting interventions and all of that, it's useful to see a visual representation of this data that we have come to find. So this is just one way to look at it visually. Another way to look at it will be in one slide. So first I'll talk about how, so the mean of the non-Hispanic white population was 8.1%, but the non-Hispanic black population was 10.4%, and this was significant. So the black population is 28.3% higher than that for the non-Hispanic white population, and that was significant with a p-value less than 0.0001. So now I'll have another way to look at it. So this is looking at the overall prevalence of diabetes using 2006 to 2010 BFRS data, but this is looking at the state as a whole, so not on the county level, and it was 9.6%. So if we were looking at this on a big map of the United States, Florida would show up as this color. If this was how we were showing the diabetes prevalence estimates, it would be between the greater than 5% and 10% range. But then if we look at it on the county level and by race, this is looking at estimated non-Hispanic white diabetes prevalence, you can see that there's more variability taking place. So down there at the bottom, that's Miami-Dade County, and that actually falls in a lower category. So maybe if we were targeting at this 9.6% level, we would be overshooting in that area. And as you can see in some of those central and northern counties, for instance, the one towards the top, that's Union County, Florida, and they have a higher prevalence. They fall into the greater than 10% to 15% range. And so maybe those targeted interventions aren't quite working the way that we would like them to then. So then if we look at the non-Hispanic black population, we see that the variability increases and the shift overall in the diabetes prevalence also increases. And so this just further necessitates looking at this data on the county level and by race. So this is Union County, Florida right here. This was the one that had that largest rate difference of 8.2%, as the non-Hispanic white population has 10.1% and the non-Hispanic black population has a diabetes prevalence of 18.3%. And so if we looked at Florida as a whole, that estimated prevalence was around 9.6, which is pretty close to the non-Hispanic white population of 10. So if we were, you know, doing some kind of intervention where we're trying to intervene for about 10% of the population, we probably would be doing pretty well for the non-Hispanic white population, but we maybe wouldn't have a strong enough intervention for the non-Hispanic black population that has a much higher prevalence rate. So if we were looking at it like this, we really would be missing the data that we would capture if we looked at it like this. So in conclusion, I have you convinced that we've shown that the within-state variability is often larger than the between-state variability in terms of prevalence of diabetes, and that employing the methods that I've shown will help you apply new weights as well as incorporate multiple levels of data and allow you to estimate prevalence of diabetes at the county level, which would allow for the targeting of interventions and resources to areas most in need of possibility, which is a really big concern right now, especially in the current economic climate when we want to really be honing in on the areas that we can best maximize our dollar. So this study demonstrates both the necessity of examining county level estimates when assessing debt disparities as well as the necessity to do so. So thank you. Something like that.
A measure that talks about both the disparity and also like the starting point for each group.
Yeah, that's a great question. So when we looked at both rate difference and rate ratio, and so the rate ratio hopefully would capture some of that. So if there's a really, if both in the non-Hispanic white and the non-Hispanic black population, they're both really high, you know, that ratio won't be quite as large, but it would be interesting to look at it if you included a baseline. So then you could have a third measure that would kind of incorporate both the rate difference and the rate ratio. That's a good idea. Thank you.
Let's thank the speaker again.